Hello, my name's Grant Edwards, and you're listening to Liberty NZ, and with me is our famous guest, the Right Honourable Dennis Hall from Wellington. I'll take you forward to Brian Tamaki's speech, so have a listen and tell me what you think of this. I think you'll be able to hear it, so just tell me what you think of this one, Dennis. See if you can hear him now.
Totalitarian rule would be what they would get, Māori, if they supported Jacinda's plan to be able to continue to turn this country into a socialist prototype example to the world. She was the poster child for the United Nations, World Economic Forum, and also the big corporate company called BlackRock, who were funding and paying her to turn a Western civilized country, because they aim for democracies. They weren't taking away democracies. Democracy is the devil we know. It ain't a perfect style of government, believe me. With her excellent communication skills, never seen before. So she was starting to get a very consenting population. New Zealand, sorry, but you were soft and easy. And the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and also WHO knew, because they have done, they were graphing and charting with the data of which countries were the most consenting countries and which countries were the most resistant. That's what they were doing long before you knew. We were driving to the beach with our kids for the holiday, and they were graphing the data on you and your car with your kids, and how you would take a sudden change in a direction that they were beginning to implement with a motivation behind it. And New Zealand came out in the top three. Top three. I kind of felt a
top three
shame come over me. And I felt like, you know, that's not me, but I can't do that, because I'm really a part of my country. But in other words, we are the most third easily led country in the world out of hundreds of countries. So they got to work. You know this probably already. So Jacinda needed the Māori, and she formed the Māori caucus and empowered them with insane, undemocratic power. And that's where we have the inside threat of what I call, from my own, now this is not, most Māori don't know this. Most Māori wouldn't even be agreeable to this. They would only attack me now because of the lack of knowledge of this. And that's why I just want to finish this off and tell you, so you know what I'm talking about. That's what I am. I'm part Māori, as well as my European culture, but this is an insidious agenda from the Labour, from globalists, with Jacinda. Hipkins was a big part of it too, by the way. Should I add that? Now, they did a deal behind closed doors, because the Māori caucus could have collapsed that Labour government, especially back in the last 3 or 4 or 5, easily. They could have collapsed it. So there was an unspoken, power usage, to the point where they were holding a gun at her head, and the Labour cabinet, caucus. Of course they'll deny all this, but it's true. There's no way that they could have ever got the things they got, and three waters and co-governance. No room for that. There's only room for one government for all people, not two governments. And for some people, one government, one health service, one whatever entity that they choose to be in that. It doesn't work like that. The moment you start doing that, you have separatism. You're dividing a country, and you're setting that country up to collapse totally. So they made the deal. You give us ownership of the water and all of the other resources on the land. That was rivers and thermal, and sea was included. Jacinda said she didn't know. Of course she knew, because that was part of the deal. And they would give her their undivided loyalty to support using Te Tiriti, the Treaty of Waitangi, the partnership, the whole thing there, and to rewrite it so that it fit the agenda that Jacinda was ploughing ahead with. And that's obvious. I thought that would be easy to work out. But the reason I know is because I know by inside contacts. I'm not just having guests here. I can't give those away or expose them. But they were making $1 billion a year for every year that they've been in government, the Māori caucus, $1 billion. That total is more than all of the compensations they got through the treaty settlements.
Could you believe that, Dennis, that was the amount of money? I mean, we could carry on.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Phenomenal. They cost $1 billion a year for Maori language. So nothing unusual. Mm.
Yeah, so that really impressed me. I've never really been that impressed with them. I haven't got anything bad to say about Tamaki. Nothing really good. I don't like the fact that he calls himself an apostle. But I can't fault what he said. That entire speech is one of the best speeches, political speeches I've ever heard in my life. And I'm 63 this year in New Zealand. I haven't heard anything as good as that. No one's come out and said and called a spade like he has, except for Rodney Hyde. And even then he was a little bit guarded, and so was Matt King. Winston Peters has come out and said nothing about the vaccines and about the basically the globalists that are controlling our country. They've infiltrated our country. That's what I believe. That's what he's saying. And he's the first politician who doesn't want to be, he's a reluctant politician, to come out and say that. So, and you're not a fan of Brian Tamaki, are you? Let's be clear.
Well, no, I'm not. Because I thought that... I've always thought that people in religious orders or whatever sort of lean towards getting as much power as possible in any sphere, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I saw this character who was, to me, he was a charlatan, if you know what I mean. Hmm. I mean, he's some guy that's appointed himself a bloody bishop, and he's up there. But you know, he's obviously a very good speaker. Now I did listen to the entire speech, as you suggested, and I thank you for that.
Mm.
I agree with you. It's one of the best speeches I've ever heard. Yeah. It's absolutely, people want to get a picture of what's been going on in New Zealand, it's a very good place to look.
Mm.
You know, that speech will answer most questions. And I think that he was, you know, one of the differences here, of course, is that as a Maori, he is able to come out and criticise Maori without being called a racist.
Exactly.
And so he has pointed the finger where the finger needed to be pointed. He did it very well, and he was very articulate. But the other thing that I saw in this speech was that we were listening to a man who was making the speech off the top of his head.
Yes.
You know, look, he might have had cue cards somewhere or whatever, but you know, you could tell by the little bits of hesitancy and whatever that you felt like he was sort of changing his subject or topic a little bit, and which is what you do in an ordinary speech, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So I've always been suspicious of him, but you know, I've never, as I said, I was suspicious of him for two reasons, and one was because he was a Maori preacher, and you know, in my head, in my head, Maoris will gather together. And especially around somebody with power, and so that'll turn a group of people into a predominantly Maori group, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Whereas, and so that changes the texture of any congregation or group of people if they become predominantly one race over their sort of numbers in society. If you know what, do you know what I mean? I mean, if there's 16% of Maori or 18% of Maori in a big auditorium, then that's the normal sort of number of Maori we'd expect to find in the population. Once you get more than that, once it goes over 20% or 30%, it becomes a different sort of animal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was suspicious of him in the past, and also because I got raised a Catholic. I've been through the Catholic school system. I've been taught about religion. I remember everything I was taught. I came top in religion every year when I was at school. And so I get it all, and I know what I believe and I know what I don't believe. And so I'm deeply suspicious of all that. But having said that, you know, there's people like who I know quite well, Michael Jacob, and he sings Brian Tamaki's praises all the time. Mm. And you know, he and I had conversations about Winston Peters because, you know, he was on about Winston Peters before the last election, but when Peters did what he did, he thought it was a complete betrayal. Mm. And, you know, that's sort of what you come to expect, if you know what I mean. And so for me, that's where Brian Tamaki is going. And so once he's confronted with his own people, so to speak, but, you know, they're I suspect that they'll confront him about what he said here, because this must have gone viral.
Do you think that that Mike Jacobs, is it Mike Jacobs, NNP?
Mike Jacob.
Do you think that he would be unhappy with Tamaki's speech yesterday?
He was already happy with Brian Tamaki before that speech.
But do you think he'll be happy now that speech?
Oh, it would have to be. Because what does he want? He wants to take his NNP party into Parliament as part of this sort of umbrella group, you know.
Mm.
And so, because, you know, the umbrella group gives all those little, what I call Mickey Mouse parties, a little bit of validity. You know, I've said to Mike many times, starting a new political party is a waste of time because, you know, look at ACT. You know, it takes 25 years to get a new political party established in the minds of New Zealanders.
Yep.
And I believe that ACT will just slowly grow. And they'll be growing by default of it because National are not doing the job properly, seems to me. I mean, I don't have any faith at all in Chris Luxon.
No.
I had more faith in Simon Bridges.
Yeah.
But I'll shut up in a minute.
No, you're fine.
My feeling about Brian Tamaki's speech, where I felt...
Ah, we lost you. You've gone a little bit... something's happened there. Oh, I know what's happened. My phone has died. Oh, well, so much for that. Hi, we're back again with Grant Edwards and Liberty NZ, and that was Dennis Hall from the Horror Whanua. And so thank you very much, Dennis. The problem there was my phone died. It's my only form of getting... it's my only form of internet. And when the phone dies, the internet dies. So now you don't need to look at me because it's getting late. But anyway, so I've got John G with me on the line. Hi, John.
How are you, Grant?
How are you? Are you well?
Yep. Very good this evening. Thank you.
Before I played Brian Tamaki's 6th of February yesterday's speech, his New Zealand Day speech, he calls it. He purposely doesn't call it Waitangi Day. He doesn't call New Zealand Aotearoa. It's New Zealand. Have a listen to what he says. I'm pretty impressed by it. Have a listen to this.
If they supported Jacinda's plan to be able to continue to turn this country into a socialist prototype example to the world. She was the poster child for the United Nations, World Economic Forum, and also the big corporate company called BlackRock, who were funding and paying her. To turn a Western civilized country, because they aim for democracies. They weren't taking away democracies. Democracy is the devil we know. It ain't a perfect style of government, believe me. When the people all together yell for something and it's wrong, that's what democracy can do. It makes a lot of mistakes. But we have to live with the devil we know. But democracies can be invaded by ideological views or beliefs. You understand what I'm saying? So Jacinda always said that New Zealand was a democracy because she needed you to be quiet, calm, as she was slowly bewitching the nation with her excellent communication skills, never seen before. So she was starting to get a very consenting population. New Zealand, sorry, but you were soft and easy. And the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and also WHO knew, because they have done, they were graphing and charting with the data of which countries were the most consenting countries and which countries were the most resistant. That's what they were doing long before you knew. We were driving to the beach with our kids for the holiday, and they were graphing the data on you and your car with your kids and how you would take a sudden change in a direction that they were beginning to implement with a motivation behind it. And New Zealand came out in the top three. Top three. I kind of felt a shame come over me. And I felt like, you know, that's not me, but I can't do that because I'm really a part of my country. But in other words, we are the most third easily led country in the world out of hundreds of countries. So they got to work. You know this probably already. So Jacinda needed the Māori, and she formed the Māori caucus and empowered them with insane, undemocratic power. And that's where we have the inside threat of what I call from my own. Now, this is not, most Māori don't know this. Most Māori wouldn't even be agreeable to this. They would only attack me now because of the lack of knowledge of this. And that's why I just want to finish this off and tell you, so you know what I'm talking about. I'm not. That's what I am. I'm part Māori, as well as my European culture. But this is an insidious agenda from the Labour, from globalists, with Jacinda. Hipkins was a big part of it too, by the way. Just going to add that. Now, they did a deal behind closed doors, because the Māori caucus could have collapsed that Labour government, especially back in the last 3 or 4 or 5, easily. They could have collapsed it. So there was an unspoken, power usage to the point where they were holding a gun at her head and the Labour cabinet caucus. Of course, they'll deny all this, but it's true. There's no way that they could have ever got the things they got, and three waters and co-governance. No room for that. So there's only room for one government for all people, not two governments. And for some people, one government, one health service, one whatever entity that they choose to be in that. It doesn't work like that. The moment you start doing that, you have separatism. You're dividing a country and you're setting that country up to collapse totally. So they made the deal. You give us ownership of the water and all of the other resources on the land. That was rivers and thermal, and sea was included. Jacinda said she didn't know. Of course she knew, because that was part of the deal. And they would give her their undivided loyalty to support, using Te Tiriti, the Treaty of Waitangi, the partnership, the whole thing there, and to rewrite it so that it fit the agenda that Jacinda was ploughing ahead with. And that's obvious. I thought that would be easy to work out. But the reason I know is because I know by inside contacts. I'm not just having guess here. I can't give those away or expose them. But they were making $1 billion a year for every year that they've been in government, the Māori caucus, $1 billion. That total is more than all of the compensations they got through the treaty settlements. And yet, most Māori still languish in poverty, languish in prisons, languish in all of the negative statistics you can find anywhere. They're still languishing worse as these Maori elites got richer with this money. That's the threat within, that our whole political system has been hijacked. Now, everybody's getting on with it because you feel like it's okay. But do you notice, right down to the ordinary people who go to a cafe and you can't get enough service because they say we got no workers? And a shortage of workers in our hotels, and hotels are closing still, by the way. Things are still closing down. You can't get the usual easies of life that you used to get. Do you notice that in everyday life, stuff is wrong? Everything's like, it's the collateral damage from the lockdowns. And I write a lot, and I was writing lockdowns, and I somehow just put the purge. It was no difference to the purge. Sorry if I'm a bit too much for you, but these lockdowns are the worst in the world. And it did. The collateral damage, people are still dying. Businesses are still struggling. Can't get workers. I can't work that one out because there's good places advertising for workers. And last night I was having my party somewhere in this location, and the air conditioning wasn't working, and we'd paid a good price to be there, or the people that were having the birthday, and there was a lack of trying to get workers. They struggled to get people to do the food. That's in a big hotel chain. And yeah, and they had to try and get somebody to fix it, and they couldn't, and until finally they found one person. And I don't want to say any more about that person either, by the way, because that would put me down a whole other path. I'll give you a hint. National want to super boost immigration. Anyway, don't get me down there. So can you understand what I'm saying? Our country's been wrecked, but it's recoverable. It can change. And that again is up to you people. And I will simply leave it here by saying the alternatives are that you get the same old, same old, same old. They're going to toy between Luxton, and I'm quite disgusted watching the news. I don't even watch TV hardly now. And I'm so in a way, and I thought, but I want to do something. I'm only doing this because I'm concerned for my country. I'm genuinely concerned for you and our children and our children's children. I'm concerned for our economy, the huge debt. I'm concerned the way that people have lost hope and their mental health has deteriorated. I'm concerned that our kids have emotional hang-ups. I'm concerned now that everything has been damaged at this level. And I would ask the questions, how can we turn this around? How can we make New Zealand a better place again? How can we make this a great place to live again? How can we come up on top and be the paradise of the South Pacific? Better than before. And it kept coming back to the one answer. It's we the people. If you want the same old, and repeat it over again, then do nothing about it and just do what you always did. But if you want change, why don't you join us? There are many people like me, thousands and tens of thousands across the country,
so that's,
who are now rising up and saying,
that's
well,
Brian
we want
Tamaki.
Something.
Pretty impressive, John. Quite impressive.
But he really does, you know, he does come through on what he says, which is great.
Yeah, so I don't know. A lot of people are against him, and I think a lot of it is just because he's a Christian and a minister, in actual fact. You know, like he's got a massive church, very successful in whatever he does. Sounds to me like he's the kind of person we need running this country.
Well, he says it as we are majority thinking in this country, I think. Most people, you either love him or hate him, but at the moment he doesn't admit, he admits his failings, and that's a mark of a great quality. But I think he needs to be the one. He's a great, he says it as is, and he's saying what we all want to say. We want an investigation for what happened. We want admission of these things, inquiries. Like Rodney Hyde said, he's a one-vote man.
I was just thinking Rodney Hyde. Who else besides Rodney Hyde and Brian Tamaki have come out and said there needs to be either a select committee or a royal commission of inquiry into the vaccine maiming and deaths and all the people that are injured and people that are bereaved from losing people? Who else has come out and said anything like that? I can't think of anybody.
I think there's been... can't think of names, but I do know in other countries people who are speaking out.
Yes, of course.
For the same thing.
Yes, but I just mean in New Zealand. There's only him and Rodney Hyde, isn't there? Matt, who's the guy up north? Matt, who was a police officer.
Matt King.
Matt King has come out. Yeah. He was a bit ginger to start with, a bit weak, not really. But Tamaki's just... A spade's a spade. He's just gone out there and hammered it. And what he said is what we've been going on about on this channel.
I couldn't change for
2 years.
Anything of what he said.
No.
If anyone interpreted that as being militant or whatever, no, it's just the facts. It's the facts. It's what we're all feeling. And he's right. If they've got anything to hide, then they've got, if they are telling the truth, then they've got nothing to fear.
He made me feel ashamed for considering the Wanganui Māori government. Because he's definitely a Kiwi. He definitely believes in the constitutional monarchy.
Yeah, we need to unite those smaller parties that have, a common goal, and that is so we've got a voice in Parliament. Because every time... You know, if you've got someone speaking in Parliament, they can't stop the broadcast, can they?
No.
They can't emit Hansard notes. It's all there on record.
I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with, this Freedom and Rights Coalition, in the next election.
I hope so.
I hope Winston Peters will talk to him. I hope he'll take him seriously. So that's the end of that.
Well, anyone who doesn't will soon reveal their true colours, won't they? I mean, put aside the differences and unite on what we actually want in this country. We don't want to be a socialist country.
We don't want to be a globalist country either. So that's why, and he hit the nail on the head. We can't have National Enact. They cannot govern this country because they're globalists. And they would be worse. They'd be worse than Ardern.
Well, they've during the pandemic, they certainly were.
Yeah.
Unless they weren't thinking what they were saying, they certainly...
No, they were thinking all right. They're following Klaus Schwab.
Bit the hand that... Well, I think it's going to bite them now.
Yeah. Well, okay. So who have we got in the Freedoms and Rights Coalition? Besides, we've got the Tamakis. We've got the New Nation Party, which was called the New National Party, and I think the National Party lawyers got onto them and they had to change it to the New Nation Party. That's right. Guy that is involved heavily in that is a friend of Dennis Hall's.
Yes.
Can't remember his name. It's just, I had it before. It's gone now, sorry. So Mike Jacobs, that's right. And Mike Jacobs started quite a successful lobby group called Team New Zealand, Silent Majority Team New Zealand. Do you remember that? They're on Facebook, they had a big following.
Not sure that I can remember that, but...
They're now the New Nation Party. So, and I was quite surprised that that New Nation Party would link up with the with Brian Tamaki, but I'm glad they have. The Freedom and Rights Coalition. Who else is in it? Do you know who else is involved? Will it be all the minor parties?
The Outdoors and Freedom Party. which sounds not like a political party to me. It's Sue Gray's.
Sounds like a hunting group, doesn't it? Like to go out, a tramping club.
It's terrible. Mm. It's terrible.
That's all right. I mean, the New Nation Party sounds like something out of North America, Indians or something, New Nation, or something out of the Aboriginals in Australia. Never mind.
It says it all. The Freedom and Rights Coalition is a great name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is a great name. And so it's an umbrella party, isn't it? Who is it? Who's the guy down south that went for mayor? Bromley.
Carl Bromley.
Carl said he couldn't work with Brian Tamaki. He wouldn't work with him. Doesn't say why.
Well, I know.
Why couldn't he?
It's this mega church.
He's another Christian. What's the story?
This is the problem. They get a hang up on one thing and then they hold that against, whereas they should be united on this purpose of getting New Zealand back to how it was. This is what divides churches and things. That's not good. Brian Tamaki is a Protestant, just like Carl Bromley.
I think Carl needs to put his pride in his pocket, and he needs to keep the door open. I think it's very foolish to do that. But I mean, who is Carl anyway? I mean, is that going to amount to anything? He's running around the country promoting some umbrella party. I don't think it's the same party, same umbrella, is it though? That's the only trouble.
Well, this is the problem. You know, if there's no unity, as Brian said, ain't going to happen, and it will split. I'll tell you what. A vote for the minor party will become...
That will be a vote for National or Labour or whatever.
No, I think it will be a vote for Labour.
It will be a vote. You're absolutely right. In the past, that's been the case. If the by-election was anything to go on, National and ACT were in for the next election. And that's usually, that by-election in Hamilton that we had, any by-elections are usually an indication of how it's going to go. But there's a bit of water to go yet. We've got about 7 months, haven't we? What about February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October? We've got 8 months.
But Labor's facing a little bit what happened to National at the last election. A lot of the National MPs stood down, and they didn't have time to replace them with good candidates. So Labor picked up like 6 or 7, maybe more seats, because they put candidates in. Jacinda was so popular that the Labor candidate won. But now we've got quite a few MPs from Labor who aren't standing again, and with the way the government is and its reputation, I don't think that they're going to be able to replace them. I think they'll return to National, probably. But
it would be the worst thing that could ever happen. If National and ACT got in, that would be the worst thing that could happen. That would mean that all the global warming rubbish, all that climate change nonsense would all go ahead. But if Brian Tamaki got in, with his party, Freedom and Rights Coalition, and the Umbrella Party, and all the other parties, there'd be none of that, because thinking people know it's all garbage. But we've got mental patients running the asylum at the moment,
and we politicians who have been trained in an ideology of globalism,
and none of them can run a business.
No, they don't care about that.
No.
They don't care about it.
What Tamaki said. We've got half-wits that couldn't run a business if they tried, couldn't run a corner dairy. And we've got people that aren't in power, aren't in Parliament, that are very successful. He even said there's probably thousands of housewives in New Zealand that could run this country better than who we've got now, than Grant Robinson.
That was brilliant. And he also mentioned how, despite the billions of dollars that have been received by certain lobby groups, the statistics show that this has not been spent on the languishing population. I liken it a little bit to the Ethiopian
eunuch
crusade when Live Aid was on in the 1980s.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, you see, the money didn't get to the people. And it was one big slush fund.
Yeah, which is what we've got happening with the Maori caucus. It sounds pretty good to me. So Rodney Hyde said that he would be voting for, it's a single issue for him, this issue. He's never been a single issue believer in a single issue for voting. but he is this time. So I would say that he, based on that speech, I would say Rodney Hyde would probably vote for the Tamaki Party, the Freedom and Rights Coalition.
I think if that's there was any way to get that speech to Rodney Hyde.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll send it to him. Yeah.
Doing.
Yep.
I send it to him, and even if you want to highlight the piece in the speech which says that that's what they would want, a whole lot of inquiries into the whole process, the decision making. They want accountability.
You see, Brian Tamaki went further than Rodney Hyde. I don't think Rodney Hyde would come out and say, you know, we're run by a bunch of globalists.
I tell you who would have said that and did say it, and he's dead now, Richard Prosser.
Oh, yes.
Richard Prosser warned New Zealand.
Was that a suspicious death, do you think?
I think so.
They say it was suicide.
Oh, no. He had a heart attack, I think.
A lot of people having heart attacks in the last 2 years. This Maori lady stood up at Waitangi yesterday and said that she'd lost... Oh, it wasn't yesterday, was it? Yesterday, Tuesday? Yeah, yesterday at Waitangi. She said, to the politician, they tried to shut her down. When are you going to come out and do an inquiry? She wanted a Royal Commission of Inquiry into the vaccine injuries. And she said she's lost 30 family. 30 whānau. 30.
Yeah, well, you see, it's starting to come back and bite. Mm. And this is the issue. All they want to talk about is return of land.
Heads have got a role, mate. But people have to be held accountable.
Hey, isn't it interesting that the two people that spoke out got into the headlines, and what they said was quoted?
Yeah, brilliant. And that's good. The media, good on the media for doing that. That 54 million must be running low.
I think so. Or
they can see that it's the end of the it's the end of the rainbow as far as the golden pot. They're not going to be getting any more money from the Ardern government.
They better start reporting the truth. And so they picked up on that protester. And he was an old man, 82-year-old.
Yeah, Kamata. He's been in the news before, though.
He said the truth.
He has been in the news before
That's
a few years ago, and I don't think it was that favourable. But the media didn't mention anything about that.
It didn't matter.
Mm.
What he said was
it was good.
Made it on
the
page. He was the difference between the law.
He's a former SAS.
I quite believe it.
Mm.
You could see it. Yeah, he's a savvy man, but what he said was, I admire him.
I hope I'm right in saying that. I was pretty sure that he was Special Air Service.
For him to say it's not Pākehā against Māori, that's not the battle. It's both of them joined against
the government. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Enemy from within. Well, the enemy from within is actually the Māori caucus, and the enemy from without are the globalists. And the globalists are using the Māori caucus. They're using all Indigenous people to take land off people, to destroy our economy, to bring it down so they can reset it the way they want to do it. And the banks are all involved.
That's been done from way back when they signed the treaty.
In 92.
The treaty signed. Mm. The native peoples of the world. Yeah.
Well, thanks,
Indigenous
John.
People.
Thank you for that. So are you going to vote? Who are you going to vote for after that? You're going to vote for Brian Tamaki?
We're only talking about... we're not saying anything that's not actually on the air already.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're just going over and quoting. I seriously thinking of it, I need to, of course, even I have a policy, which is a Berean policy. You check to see what is said as being true. I've already heard that today. I agree that it's truth. Thing is, I now need to look at what the party statements say. I like a statement to see what they stand for in each area, not just New Zealand getting it on political stability, not necessarily the investigation over the vaccine, the so-called vaccine. Mm-hmm. I want to see where the party stands on all fronts.
If Rodney Hyde puts his money where his mouth is, he'll be voting for the Freedom and Rights Coalition. He has to,
because
there's nobody else saying what Rodney Hyde says need to be said, to be done.
So we will make sure that Rodney Hyde gets a copy of that speech.
Yeah, we will. Thank you very much, John G. John G, who is a friend of Liberty NZ, friend of the podcast. Thank you very much for joining me. And till next time, this is Grant Edwards and John G saying it's good night from him.
And it's good night from me.
Okay, take care.
Two Ronnies.
Yeah,
okay, mate.
Okay, mate.
Thanks.
Bye.